Welcome back to episode 40 of Between the Tackles. All you crazy people out there, we appreciate the hell out of you. The fact that we've made it to 40 episodes so far, this is insane. In the membrane, I can't believe we made it this far, and I'm so excited to be bringing another episode to you guys today. Today, unfortunately, my good buddy, my nemesis, my pain in the ass, Burgess, my co-host, is unavailable again. We love and miss him. Well, I miss him, but not so much the love part. You guys know that at this point. But however, I do have a special guest with us today. He is here to talk about the NFC East and those goddamn Philadelphia Eagles that he loves so much. He's kind of cool. He's Kyle. He's kind of cool, Kyle. That's his Twitch name. But Kyle, my man, mi amigo, how are you doing today? How you feeling?
Hey man. I just want to say your podcast voice, top tier. This man went from, hey, man, or to, hey, welcome in. This is with the podcast. Freaking ESPN voice, guys. Don't believe anything he ever says. It's not his real voice.
I mean, you call me a cheater all the time. I'm a Pats fan. I got to stick up to the persona, right? It's not the real
you're a
me.
Pats fan, man.
That's how it works. I mean, but how you doing today? You excited to be on the podcast?
Yeah. Yeah, man. You know, I've been bugging for everyone that's there. I've been bugging him for like years. Just kidding. No. I was just like, hey, I want to be on that. And he was like, okay, fine.
That's right. I had to get you on here because I was talking to a couple of my buddies who are Cowboys fans. And I know that would just be beating. No, it's okay. I have no problem with it. It's their fault of theirs for liking the Cowboys in the first place. But we were talking about possibly having them on. They were a little camera shy and they were like, I don't know. So I was like, you know what? Let's get a dirty bird on here. Let's get somebody who loves them Philadelphia Eagles to really zest it up in here because I know how much you love them Philadelphia Eagles. And you know what? I actually didn't mind the Eagles for a long, long time and until that damn 2018 season, which I know you love to talk about. And I loathe it more than anything other than one other team that we're going to talk about later, those goddamn Giants. I hope you despise them as much as I do. That's all I can say. They're the worst. They're the worst, right?
You know, I don't like, okay, it goes in the list of hatred in the NFC East. Obviously, the Cowboys are
top tier,
right? Yep. They're up there with the Niners, which we'll get on with that later. And then it goes the Giants, just because like they're just like a thorn in your side that just like doesn't go away. You know what I mean? Like you never know what you're going to get out of the Giants. You never know if they're going to be fucking 14-2 with the best run and the best offense, best defense. Or fucking 0-17, right? But in that 0-17, they're going to make my Eagles look like they're a fucking mid-level team, right? And then you have the Commanders, which... Who?
Exactly.
They're the Washington football team was a better name than Commanders. Like,
yes, I agree.
I'm not even going to shit on them too hard. They got their own thing going on.
That's honestly, that's funny. That's actually how I consider, like, Burgess gets all hot and bothered whenever we talk about the Buffalo Bills on here with the AFC East. And it's just like, I don't have any qualms with the Buffalo Bills because they love to lose Super Bowls. That's the biggest thing about the Bills, right?
They love to lose Super Bowls. They love to lose close games. They love to lose to Patrick Mahomes with 20 seconds left. They love to choke every single time.
Oh, Burgess, when he listens to this, he's going to be so excited to hear you point out all those facts right now. But actually, really quickly, speaking of Patrick Mahomes, we're going to get to a little bit of news that kind of broke recently since we last recorded. And I want to get you some of your thoughts on this because I'd love to know how you feel. Obviously, your quarterback being considered one of the better quarterbacks at this point, where my team has giant question marks everywhere. But the news recently broke about this is opinionated on my point.
Okay.
My part. Mid-tier to unproven quarterbacks are getting bank right now. Getting bank. The news broke, I believe it was last Friday, that Jordan Love just became the highest paid quarterback in the NFL currently, like today. $55 million a year. And like I said, I Jordan Love I'm a little out on because I don't know yet because he's only had one season. And granted, he had a tremendous end to that season, which was great to see. Mm-hmm. But then Tua got paid, and Tua is just like, dude, like, you know what I'm saying? Patrick Mahomes, a three-time Super Bowl winning quarterback who I despise, trust me, I can't stand him, is not even in the top eight for highest paid quarterbacks in the NFL right now. Give me your thoughts. What do you think about some of these guys getting paid the way they
are?
Man,
look, Jordan Love, I have all the respect for him. Coming out of UCLA, right? I'm pretty positive UCLA. Was he? Yeah, he's a UCLA grad, I'm pretty sure.
I believe so.
Yeah, and you know, Southern California, born and raised. So I'm gonna show him some love. Obviously, I'm glad he got his bag, but like, one good season, you're gonna give this man that much money, and then on top of that too. Like, I understand these guys need to get their money and stuff, but like, you're leaving nothing for anything of the team. You know what I mean? But I am not one to, you know, obviously, you know, I don't know their backgrounds. I don't know what's going on. You know, let them have their, let them get their money, obviously. You know what I mean? But like Jordan Love, Tua, like, I love Tua. I think he has the talent, but like, can he walk without spraining his ankle? Like,
or get a concussion every five milliseconds.
Yeah, that's also on the Dolphins. Why the fuck would you even put him back in too, right?
Like, agreed.
Like, I you see the potential there, but then it's just like, you haven't proven it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I feel like what they do, though, I feel like what these quarterbacks do is, especially Tua, because the Dolphins are in a win now, like, mode, right? Mm-hmm. And they tried with a different quarterback, and that didn't go very well, right? So I feel like I feel like Tua just kind of strong-armed them and said, look, you need me more than I need you, because there'll be some dumbass team, Giants, Commanders, right?
Pats.
Sorry.
Okay.
That would pay for that, right? Yeah. Like, I mean, look at the Falcons. They just signed Kirk Cousins to $1 billion after tearing his Achilles. So I feel like they might have strong-armed. I feel like Tua might have strong-armed the Dolphins a little too.
And that's, and you bring up a great point there that we've touched on in this podcast before, where, like I said, I think Kirk Cousins was a microcosm of the way that the NFL is going at this point, where unfortunately you see a lot of teams that are willing to dole out stupid's amount of cash for players that are, like I said, either are unproven or have had one good season or are built up by the talent around them. And like I said, I took a quick look at the top eight highest paid quarterbacks that are in the NFL right now. And obviously the list goes Jordan Love, number one, two is number two. I want to say Joe Burrow's three. Joe Burrow, at least I give a little credit towards, because he's made the Super Bowl and he's proven what his team can be when he's healthy and everything.
And he has protection.
Exactly. But then you look at some of the other names on that list, like Trevor Lawrence. I'm going to be careful because I made some enemies last time I spoke ill of Trevor. So, hey, good job, Trevor. Way to get paid. Don't come after me, Jacksonville. God, please, not again. But then you look at like Justin Herbert, right? So Herbert is one of those guys that he's always on your list of being like, he's a fantasy stud. You want to have him on your team. He's a great guy to have, but he hasn't proven anything. And I granted, there's a lot of stuff going on with the Chargers, their defense, the head coaching and all that, but he's had the weaponry around him to be successful. And I go back to, what was that, 2 years ago, we've talked about it before, where they blew that 27 point lead to Jacksonville in the playoffs, where it's like, if you're that good, you don't blow a 27 point lead in the playoffs.
That's true. That's, you know, with Justin Herbert, I mean, they had like the absolute worst coaching. They bought like Adam Gase style type coaching, you know?
True.
So like,
you got to cut him a little slack, right?
I cut him a little slack at the same. I mean, he's young too. He straight up just went in, started playing. Yep. I mean, if you want to talk about a guy that's meant to be in Southern California, it's that guy. But like, I feel bad for him. Like, but I have the list pulled up now. It's probably a little outdated, but Jordan's the third highest. So it goes Trevor, Joe, Jordan, Tua, Jared Goff.
Jared Goff, yep. He's another one that got paid this year.
Jared Goff.
Yep.
Herbert, Lamar Jackson.
Yep.
My boy Hurts. Kyler Murray.
Oh, God.
Deshaun Massage Table Watson.
This is...
Kirk Cousins, and then Patty Mahomes.
And look at so that list that you just named off, none of those quarterbacks until you got to Mahomes have a Super Bowl ring.
And that's how many insane. Have like a playoff win? I think what Burrow.
That's even worse.
Lawrence.
Trevor Lawrence actually has. Yeah, that's what I mean. It's
Jackson,
like that's
Hurts.
That's insane. That's insane.
Not even
to me.
Not many. Yeah, they've
like
yeah.
I get it. Like I always go back to with the GMs and the panic mode and protecting your job, where you have to pull that trigger and get those guys signed and retain them to make it look like you're A, doing your job, but B, like, you have an inkling of an idea of what you're doing at your job to be like, hey, like, I just go back to Tua, right? Like, when he first came in the league his rookie year, he did not blow anybody away. Like, he was not in the conversation for rookie of the year. Jalen Waddle was phenomenal.
Who was the quarterback when when he was there, when he first got there?
It was Ryan Tannehill. Veteran.
It was Ryan the veteran.
Tannehill. Wasn't it?
Tannehill. No, Tannehill.
Oh, Fitzpatrick.
Yeah, Fitzmagic. Yeah. And then they took him away when they were like, what, 6-0?
They kept benching him. They kept trying to make Tua the starter, and they had to keep benching him for Fitzmagic, like you said. And then I feel like, honestly, that Tua only has the stats and the ability that he does now is because he has a guy like Tyreek and he has Jalen Waddle. And I'm very curious to see how Odell's going to fit in that picture this year. That signing shocked me, but
it did. I don't know how it's going
to
work.
I just, for the money he's making, it's crazy to me. It's absolutely crazy town banana pants to me. I don't understand. I don't know. I'll never be a football GM just because, like I said, I would look at a player like these guys and the amount of money we're throwing at them, I'd immediately be out on it. I'm like, no. Oh, yeah. But let's move on. Obviously, we've bashed enough quarterbacks at this point. So I want to talk a little bit. So obviously, training camp just got going recently. And unfortunately, I saw that there was a defensive end for the Colts just tore his Achilles, which obviously, you know, is the worst. He led the team with 9.5 sacks, and I'm not even gonna try and say his name. It's like Samson something. And
okay, we're not gonna try that.
It's a tough one. But like, obviously, the injury bug is obviously a terrible thing. But it's also, you see a lot of these guys that don't want to get hurt, obviously, in the preseason. And we got a guy with the Patriots, with Matthew Judon, who was actually seen today arguing with coaches and Elliot Wolf, who's like the bona fide GM of the Patriots right now, looking for a deal. And we've talked on here before about whether guys should get paid, you know, going into the final year, their deals, restructure things, whatnot. I want to get your take really quickly, what you think, Kyle, on players, you know, especially with the Eagles. You look at like Jalen Hurts is getting the money that he's getting, deservedly so, right? You guys just paid pretty damn good money for Saquon Barkley, right? Which a lot of people raised eyebrows at. But if he's healthy and he's on par with what he did with the Giants, like, that's a great, great pickup. Do you feel that players are in the right to demand the money that they can, especially depending on their age and everything else that's going on with the circumstances? Or do you think that, you know, they sign these contracts, you're obligated to play through your contract? How do you feel about that?
I'm a little on both, right? Because look, these guys, obviously, they worked their ass off, right? And you made it to the NFL. On top of that, you're starting, right? So you've done something right, right? You've done something right. And I've also learned that, I don't know how accurate this is, but I've learned that a lot of these contracts are backloaded. So you don't pay. So if you retire, you get traded, you don't get that money, right?
Yep.
That money's just gone. So like, you may get, even though $1 million is still a lot of fucking money, right? Like,
for you and I, 100%. Like, I always say on here, I would take a tenth of what these guys make any day of the week. So
for real, yeah, I for reals, it. I 1000% would. You pay me that much, I'll hit me in the head all you want. I'll take the CTE. I don't care.
Absolutely.
But like, you know, I think that kind of goes on both. I think if the player has proven himself, right. And yes, he may be getting up there in age. If the player has proven it himself, maybe instead of like, when you restructure the contract, maybe instead of like just giving him like the full amount of money, right? Maybe you put incentives into it. Maybe you put like bonuses or something that, or maybe you pay more money up front, right? Cause if the Eagles did that with AJ Brown, Devontae Smith and Saquon, because that supposedly paying them up front also saves money on the contract as well, right?
That fully guaranteed, the fully guaranteed section of that contract is always what it's that new age where it's, you used to see, like, example, like we were talking about the quarterbacks, Patrick Mahomes signed a 10-year, like $450 million contract, which you sit there and that's, you go, he's getting almost $500 million for 10 years. But then if you break down the actual financial statistics of year to year, what he's getting paid, it's not like, but Jordan Love's new contract is 4 years, $210 million.
So that's money.
Blows Mahomes technically out of the water by just the money he's getting in the short term, as opposed to that long-term deal that fully guaranteed, like you said. And that's what these players are looking for in this day and age, because all it takes is that knee sprain, that ACL tear, that Achilles tear, the career could be over. So you have to make that money while you are able to make that money. And like you said, I see both sides of it, where it's, yes, it's a business, but at the same time, it's, you have to look at it through the lens of, all aspects, right? So like the player wants to get paid to protect himself and get the money that he's owed. At the same time, for the team aspect of it, like you said, if you're paying a quarterback hypothetically $60 million, something stupid, that takes away from having the ability to sign another like top tier receiver or even a B tier receiver to complement your superstar guy. So it's a tough situation that I wouldn't want to be put in. I mean, I would take the money no matter what, obviously, because I'm just greedy and I'll take $1 million.
Let me take it.
Talked about.
Yeah.
I mean, like any GMs out there listening, highly doubtful, but if you are and you want to sign me as like a practice squad, like be like
just a dummy,
dummy. Yeah. Tackle me till my brain falls out. I will do it all day long.
You want me to be a ball boy? I don't care. You want me to wash laundry? I'll do it.
It will be the water boy. I'll be the water boy at this point.
Yeah.
That's right.
You know, and to add on, part too as well, though, like think about it though. You notice with certain teams, right? And I'm going to pull my Eagles into this. You take care of your people, right? You take care of your people, then they're going to play their ass off for you, right? And it seems to be a Philly thing. I mean, I don't like the Phillies, right? Just transfer over to baseball. Like they take care of their people, and then these guys want to play for them, right? Eagles, they pay their people, right? They're like, all right, you've earned your shit. You worked. We're going to pay you up front so you have this money. But at the same time, you got to work. You know what I mean? But I've never heard anything bad about the GM. Nick is the whole different. That's a whole other conversation for later. But I haven't heard anything bad as far. You know what I'm saying? Like you take care of your people, they're going to take care of you, right?
Agreed.
You get these people who will play for you, who will work, and who will do these things. Then they'll get, you know what I mean? You get what I'm saying?
Yes, I 100% do. And it's unfortunate because obviously from your perspective, obviously the Eagles take care of their guys. And it seems like they're doing that more often than not, where my team is the cheapos, where they are usually the most underpaid guys and Kraft doesn't want to dole out those contracts. And it's like, how many 20 years in a row did we hear about Brady taking a pay cut when he should have been getting,
that money?
Like, till the day he dies, he should be getting paid by the Patriots for what he accomplished.
Because it's clear Brady was it.
Oh, buddy, we're not getting into that right now. We're not doing that, because then I will fight for the next 20 minutes, and I'm not doing that with you. You're here for one reason, reason only. Okay. We're talking about the NFCs. Okay.
The pause. Everyone saw that pause. He was like, motherfuck.
All right, let's get into I usually say, the meat and potatoes of this podcast. Mm-hmm. Why my buddy Kyle is joining me today. We're going to be talking and breaking down the NFC East. But before we get into that, I want to get a little bit more into the history of the Eagles with you in particular, good sir. So tell me, how did your Philadelphia fandom come about?
That's kind of crazy, right?
How'd you become an Eagles fan? Tell me, what's going on?
I'm a born and raised Californian, Southern Californian, right? You think Raiders, you think Chargers, you think any of that. I mean, I'll root for them. Don't get me wrong. Any of the California teams, I'll root for, right? I'll always root for them, right? You got the hometown, right? My dad was a Cowboys fan, and he was the most annoying Cowboys fan I have ever heard. Like,
I got some Cowboys fans you might want to meet.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Like, I know.
People shit on us Eagle fans, right? But we will admit when our team is fucking, like last year, we were all over the coach. We were not happy, right? We let him have it.
Yeah.
And so, but like my dad is one of those Cowboys fans that just like, I couldn't do it. And I tried being a Cowboys fan and I was like, why do I want to be constantly disappointed? So I chose Eagles. And then like I just couldn't do it. And every time he would just be like, oh, Tony Romo, oh, this, oh, this. And then he would just go back to the glory days. And I'm just like, bro.
Yep.
And so then we were watching, and I think it was the Eagles Cowboys game, and Donovan McNabb was playing. I was kind of into it. I was leaning towards like a Bucks fan, but then, when I was a kid, and then I started watching Donovan play with Brian Westbrook.
Yes.
Yeah. Yep. And I loved Donovan. Dude fucking was a gunslinger. And don't get me started on the Super Bowl. But and then Westbrook, that dude had like 5 concussions, but it would still run for like 200 yards, man. Like, I don't know how well he is now, but like
that early that early Eagles team in the 2000s was, they should have been, I'll go to my grave saying that they should have been a dynasty, because this was the choke artist Andy Reid before he became the Hall of Famer Andy Reid with the Chiefs, because that team from top to bottom, the fact that you guys, I know we've had conversations about this streaming and stuff. You had McNabb, you had Westbrook, you had T.O. in his, as far as I'm concerned, still in his prime. Defensively, you had probably one of the greatest safeties of all time in Brian Dawkins.
That motherfucker was crazy.
Mr. Beast or whatever the hell he, the original Mr. Beast, as far as I'm concerned. And then like your front was like insane too. You had Javon Kurse coming off his, some of his best years. And then you had, what was it? Was it Trotter?
Yes. Jeremiah Trotter. We just drafted his son.
Right. Oh my God. Oh yeah. Jesus. Make me feel a little bit older, please.
I know. Right.
But yeah, that team just all around should have been a state. And the fact that you guys went to, I want to say it was like five NFC championships and within that decade is incredible.
And
but
Super Bowl just to lose.
Well, yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to bring that up. Well, if in fairness, you lost that one, but then you won a much better one, I would say later on. Yeah. But I'm sure that's going to get, I was going to say, well, we might be getting into it now, because actually what I want to move on to now is, who is your favorite Philadelphia Eagle of all time? I got to get that off the top of your head. What do you got? If you had to pick one.
That's a tough one. I mean, Donovan is, he's up there, right? Maybe we'll do top of you. Like, I've always been a big Jackson fan.
Okay.
Right? Huge Jackson. Because he's little dude, fast as fuck.
Deshaun. Yep. Okay. I was going to say, Deshaun Jackson. Yeah, okay.
John Jackson. Sorry. I'm speaking Eagles here. Sorry.
You're good. You're good. It's okay.
All my Eagles fans knew. fucking dirty. I mean, anyway. And then, so I think Jackson, I mean, there's so many. You can't go wrong with Kelsey after, you know, everything he's going. He just seems to be just like a pretty chill ass guy. Then, like, the whole offensive line, Jordan Mailata, dude, that dude can sing. Have you heard the Christmas?
Oh, albums? Yeah.
Like
he's insane.
He's insane. And then like
Lane Johnson's on there too. He's a great guy. Yeah. So insane. He's good.
A big dude. And then like, you know, there's so many others too. Like you can't go wrong. I mean, I used to be a huge Wentz guy, but man, that didn't. That was all part of the Wentz wagon.
Okay, so we've talked about him a little bit on this podcast before, and I'll go on record as saying that I feel like he was done a little bit dirty by like the circumstances because of the whole coaching thing and all that. Yeah. But at the same time, he didn't do himself any favors.
No. So there was a lot of locker room issues too.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's why he hasn't been able to stick on a team the last 5 years at this point. So
he was good. Watching him was fun.
Yes. Yeah. But he was that one season where he should have, I still thought he should have been MVP even after he like got hurt. Like that's how good he was.
I think the you know, when we lost our offensive coordinator to the Colts again, and then like the Colts always go to the fucking Colts, and then like, you know, I think that really, same with Jalen Hurts, like, right, we lost our offensive coordinator to the Colts again, right? And look what happened. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You could clearly see the difference.
Coaching, actually, believe it or not, a lot of people like always make that great debate, right? Going back to what you said, was it Brady or was it Belichick? See, all full circle in here. No. It does go back, honestly, depending on the coaching and the situation that a lot of people are in. That makes a huge difference for a lot of different players, a lot of different teams. And it shows, like, you look at like somebody like the Steelers, where they've had the consistency with a Mike Tomlin, and we talked about this last week, breaking down the AFC North.
Yeah.
They haven't had a losing record since Tomlin took over. Yeah, but at the same time, it's insane. At the same time, since like Dick LeBeau left town, that defense hasn't been the perennial Super Bowl defense that it's been. And they've gone through offensive coordinators every like season, it seems. Mm-hmm. I mean, so I completely get that. That's going to happen regardless, especially where like you guys were so successful that season, doing what you did, getting to the Super Bowl against the Chiefs. And then, like I said, losing both your offensive and defensive coordinators, and the way you guys came out last year, that was, I thought you guys were just going to go right back to the Super Bowl. And
I did too. I didn't expect us to start off that hot. Maybe they gave us a tough schedule.
Yeah.
Exactly. That was a hard schedule. So considering how everything went, not bad, right? I'm sure we can get on this later. We'll probably get on the whole Eagles thing a little later. we could table that until we
we certainly can. Here's what we're gonna do. We're gonna return to the positive thinking. All right.
Yes. And positive.
It might be negative for me, but because I have an inkling, I might know what this is gonna be. But give me either your favorite game and or memory as being an Eagles fan. Oh, son of a bitch! I knew I should.
I think you already know that. I'm gonna. There's two big players there. Big Dick Nick.
Mm-hmm.
Uh huh. Mm-hmm. Big Dick Nick, and then yep. Brandon Graham stripping mm-hmm. that ball. I was in a Buffalo Wild Wings. I almost got in a fight with a Patriots fan because he was talking mad shit because we gave you guys 2 minutes. Now I was scared. I was like, fuck, we gave Brady 2 minutes. Holy fuck. Like, mm-hmm. I was like, that's not good. Like, you know? And Brandon Graham, I ran circles, dude. I was going crazy. And then the fact, like, they Big Dick Nick got just thrown in there. And then, like, Philly special, what?
Yeah. That was wild.
I was like, even because it was half and half, right? Because I lived in Colorado at the time at the mm-hmm. B-dubs. And like the Patriots fans were like, what just happened? And the Eagles fans are like, what just happened? But we're all like screaming and like jumping up and down. Cause like, did we really just pull that off against the Patriots right now? But then you guys also that close.
Well, So can I be honest with you? Like, I get a lot of people obviously all the time say that Pats. And granted, I'll agree with you. Most Pats fans are douchebags. I will say it.
Most of you guys are. Yeah.
I like to be on that path where I respect football too much to be a douchebag. Like, I'll have fun, but I would never get into a fight with anybody. I'll admit, obviously, when the Pats suck, which they currently do, we're a poverty franchise right now. That's it. But whenever the Patriots were in a Super Bowl, whether they won or lost, you can't admit that it wasn't possibly going to be the greatest Super Bowl of all time watching it because of the crazy shit that would always happen, whether it was losing to you guys in 18 with, like you said, the offensive blowout that it was with Brady throwing 500 yards, Nick Foles doing what he did, and then for it to end on a defensive like strip sack. Like, are you fucking kidding me? The way
that
happened?
But then you still threw a Hail Mary and
still almost came out with it. Yeah.
Like, Eagles fans were like, I'm telling you now, when that ball was in the air, like, we were like, wait, did you catch it? Like, and then it didn't click at first. Like, the ball hit the ground and all of us were like, wait, just wait. Like, there's going to be a pass interference call. Like, none of us were jumping. And then, you know, we turned on, obviously, Merrill just, the Eagles win. I was like, oh,
just like the euphoria tears. Just sets in. That's it. That's the beautiful part about football. Like I said, it was always awesome football. And like I said, I hate the Giants more than anything, but even as a football fan, I have to respect how good the 07 and the 11 Super Bowls were because of the way that it came down to what it came down to. So
yeah, those were fucking games,
right? Right. So I will, like I said, as a football fan, first and foremost, I will respect your favorite game. As a Patriots fan, I fucking hate your favorite game. But that's, like I said, I digress. So obviously we talked about your Eagles fandom and everything. We got a little mm-hmm. background on that. We touched on this a little bit, obviously, where we talked about, you know, the Super Bowl year where you guys went to the Super Bowl against the Chiefs and unfortunately came up a little bit short. It was still a phenomenal game.
That's it.
I mean, you guys, for as young of a team as the Eagles, especially were in that Super Bowl and everything, like, it was a great, great matchup.
Yeah.
And then let's go into the finish last year where you came out of the gates, you know, guns blazing, 10-0, and then unfortunately kind of the wheels fell off a little bit towards the end there, and obviously you went into the playoffs on a losing streak. I was one of those people that actually picked the Eagles to still go to Tampa and knock them off because on paper you guys were the superior team. I think it was just a little too much of the, like you were talking about, the coaching, the maybe the locker room stuff just kind of caught up to everything.
How
do we feel about the Eagles current day going into training camp that's just starting right now? Give me your thoughts and feelings on what your Eagles are going to do this year.
I mean, this, as far as personnel wise, players on the field, 100% confident in every Smith, Brown, Barkley, our offensive line, our defense. Like, we got them young kids, Carter and everything. You know, we got all, you know, we got those two corners, Cooper Jean and Cooper DeJean and someone else. I forgot the other guy. Quinyon Mitchell, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, you know, everything's there. So, like, I mean, I expect the corners to have to learn because they're young, obviously. But, like, everything's set. This, 1,000%, Nick Sirianni. That is where I fear, because he did the first year Nick was coaching, right? The Eagles. Remember the Eagles when we actually made it to the playoffs that year somehow. We started off 0-6 or 1-6.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
It was the year Brady won the Super Bowl with the Bucks.
Yeah.
But they realized they.
No. It was actually, that was the year the Rams beat the Rams, the Bengals. But you guys still made the playoffs. It was Jalen Hurts' first year as a full-time starter.
Yeah, because this guys, was after the Carson Wentz trade and everything.
Yes,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And you guys gave the Bucks a run for your money in the playoffs.
We did.
I actually remember that. Yeah.
So I remember Nick Sirianni, he did this when he first got hired, and he did it those first few games. He becomes pass happy. When you have that O-line, I understand. And when you have, like, look, Jalen Hurts can sling that thing, right? It's kind of like a slow motion cannon, but he got a cannon. You know what I mean? So I understand, like, why you want to do that. But, like, you could tell that something happened, right? Mm-hmm. You could tell every game, because I would watch that game. I'm like, why are we not running? We have DeAndre Swift and the best offensive line, which I didn't even really want to get rid of DeAndre Swift. I thought he was perfect. Good fit.
He was good. Yeah.
He's shifty. He's rough, tough. You know, I thought he was great and a cheaper to Saquon. Right. But you could tell something happened with Brian Johnson and something. I don't know what happened. Right. Brian Johnson maybe didn't speak up or something. I don't know, because he was offensive coordinator and it worked. You could tell when every game they would be pass happy. And in the second half, they'd be like, oh, wait, we have the best offensive line and we can run the ball. Every time. And like, I had DeAndre Swift as my running back for fantasy. He would do great second half, right? Every time, except to the end. But you could tell Sirianni, like, something, I don't know what happened, but Sirianni was just like, we're gonna pass every single one, and we're just gonna it's either gonna be a screen or we're just gonna fucking yeet that shit.
Yeah.
Like, every time. And, like, I don't know if you saw it, but every Eagles fan was like, run the ball.
It's I want to call it the Kyle Shanahan effect, right?
Yeah.
You go back to that 16 Super Bowl, and the knock on Kyle Shanahan is that he coaches himself out of games in the big moment, where it's like, you're up 28-3 on the Patriots at the end of the third quarter. What coach on the freaking planet is going to have Matt Ryan drop back like 40 times the rest of the game other than Kyle Shanahan? Like, as a Pats fan, I'm sitting there going, what the fuck are you doing? Like, so I get that. I 100%, and obviously, you know, the lineman love. I love the fact that you love your offensive lineman. That makes me so happy, because, like, I always talk about my fatties. That's it. And fatties always want to run the ball. You know why? Because you can beat the shit out of the guy in front of you by shoving it down his throat. Pass blocking does nothing. You get run over slowly. No lineman wants to do that.
No,
we want to maul the guy in front of us.
You gotta get out there. You gotta run out there. That's, you gotta keep up with them. Yeah, no,
that's right. So
you have to deal with the faster guys.
That's right. And well, if you get a hold of them, it's fantastic. But usually they just scamper away from you like deer. And I fucking hate them. So I completely get it. So, yeah, like I said, it'll be fascinating to see how the roster comes about this year with how you guys do with the coaching and everything like that. I have a good feeling for you personally that it's not going to be a bad year at all, because I think a lot of the division is kind of up and coming, right? Like, obviously, Dallas is who Dallas is. And we're going to get into this a little bit now, right? I want to talk about the rest of the division. And obviously, I know, but try and take the bias goggles off
I will take them off. I will take them off. I will take them off. For however long the segment is, I will take them off.
That's completely fine. I appreciate it. I won't make it too long, so that way you can just go right back to hating them all and saying the Eagles are the best. That's fine with me. But let me get your thoughts on, let's start with Dallas, right? So obviously, Dallas was last year's division champs, and it seems like every other year they just it right. It's Dallas is a very similar team where it's they either go 8-8 or they go like 12-5 or something stupid. They win the division and then they lose in the first round.
Yeah.
It's just Dallas. That's who they are. How do you feel about Dallas this year? Do you think they're better than last year? Do you think that they're worse? Like, what are your thoughts on Dallas?
You know, I think with and this is as unbiased as possible. I think I think they're the same, and I think they might be slightly worse, because they didn't make any moves. Sure, you got Zeke, right? But you got a older Zeke now. Mm-hmm. Is this Zeke as motivated? You know what I mean? Do you have that same offensive line you did when Zeke was there younger?
Nope.
You know what I mean? I mean, you got a new long snapper. I'm happy for you guys. You know, and then I've also heard that CeeDee Lamb is sitting out currently because he wants to restructure his contract, which 1000% is deserving.
Yes.
CeeDee has been the only reason that freaking Dak has been able to do anything. Like, let's be honest. Tony Pollard, you know, I think he's good, but he's not.
Yeah, he's gone. He went to Tennessee. He signed that deal. Right. So they got Zeke, and that's really about it.
Yeah, they didn't. Yeah, so you know, I it's like you love to hate him, right? I feel bad because like I don't think Dak's a bad quarterback either, but he's just on the most hated team. Like,
he's always going to get that scrutiny. He's always going to get that scrutiny, no matter what, no matter what he does, because it's just he's Dallas. He's with Dallas.
But you put him on any other team, right? You put him with what's the team that needs a quarterback, say, that's not in the rebuild mode. Maybe put him on like
Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh, Miami.
Yeah.
Right? Because Dak's a lot more, you know, he can handle a hit. You know what I mean? And see what happens there. Right?
Yeah.
Because then Dak can run a lot more, run a lot faster. Right? And then you have all those. So I feel bad for him. Because he's taking it, man. But I don't think Mike McCarthy is even a good coach, to be honest.
Yeah, we've talked about him before when we talked about Green Bay, where it was just you have possibly the most talented quarterback of all time playing for you. And the fact that you win one Super Bowl and the teams that they built around Aaron Rodgers for as long as they did. And you just look at Dallas, it's like I said, they're so successful year in and year out in the regular season. Yeah. And then they just poop their pants in the playoffs, which I don't understand. The team is too talented. And now I actually do agree with you where I think they took a very big step back this year, obviously. But I think if Pollard had stayed where you have a Pollard Zeke workhorse, like the dual threat, that worked phenomenally the year before, obviously. Mm-hmm. And then you look at, like I said, CD needs to be paid. Gallup retired. They don't have much. I mean, was it Schultz is up and coming, right?
No, not Schultz. No, he's gone.
Well,
he's gone,
he went to Texans. Yeah. They have another tight end that's he's kind of like,
I know who you're talking about, because he scored like 200 yards on us last season.
Yeah. So they Dallas does do a decent job of, I would say, acquiring skill position players and making them into, you know, better than average, I would say, players. And I think a part of that, like you touched on, is a big part is Dak, because as much crap as he gets for not winning the big game or choking at the end, like before we drafted Drake May, I was all in on like, hey, I would take Dak on the Patriots any day of the week over a fucking Macaroni Jones or some other, you know, dipshit that I didn't want any part of. So
I feel bad for Mac Jones too, because he got thrown into that's a whole thing.
Yeah. That's fine. You don't have to feel bad about Mac Jones. Okay, I hate that clown. So anyway. Now that we're done talking about the most hated teams, with obviously my Pats and the Cowboys, let's talk about one of my most hated teams, those goddamn New York Giants. And I think a big thing that shocked a lot of people last year was the fact that they came off a very, very good season 2 years ago with Daboll's first year coaching there, coming from Buffalo, obviously doing what he did with Josh Allen and then making Daniel Jones look adequate, which is saying something,
like he deserves all the money,
right? And so I mean, that was, I don't know if that was a magician trick or something, but he goddamn made him look awesome that 1 year. And then the wheels completely fell off last year, and we all know what happened, where they had the losing record. Jones got hurt. Saquon was a shell of himself. That team was just in the gutter from the get-go. Do you got any kind of feeling that the Giants are going to give you some trouble this year? I know you said they're kind of like a thorn, right? Like, you know, you don't, you never worry about them, but at the same time, you almost have to worry about them, right?
I think any NFC East team always does good against an NFC East team, no matter what, no matter how bad they are that year. They will always give that NFC East team a problem. Like, they won't play any other game, but when you face an NFC East team, it doesn't matter. Like, they're gonna play dirty. They're gonna put everything into it. They're gonna, no matter what, right?
Yep.
It, look at the Commanders last year for us. Like, we had to go to overtime, right? But like Giants, you see the leaked vid, the videos, or I think it's like off of whatever fucking thing they're doing.
Bro. Oh, the HBO. Yeah. That says all.
And they're essentially saying like, it's all on Danny Dimes now. And I, sorry, man, you're in a
good luck.
You're in a position there, bro. I don't see much. I mean, they're going to, of course, give the Eagles an issue because every NFC team, NFC East team gives the Eagles an issue. But like,
it's hard to put even. Yeah,
they're the little Giants this year.
That's fine. That's fair. Hey, it happens. Like I said, teams got to rebuild every once in a while. And it certainly seems like they're in that rebuild process, even though, like I said, they're less than a year removed from being, I think it was like 11-6 or whatever. They finished really well that year, but
made it the second round of playoffs too.
Yeah.
To get smacked by the Eagles, but
that's right. That's right. At the end of the day, Giants going to Giant, you know? So get rid of Eli and all the wheels come off. That's how it works. So,
right. And they forced Eli out too.
Yeah, they did. He got benched for Geno Smith.
Geno Smith.
Imagine that. Wild.
Imagine being the guy to bench your Super Bowl winning quarterback.
Poor Giants. I'm allowed to. I can talk shit about Giants because I hate them, and obviously I hold a very, very big grudge against them.
I mean, if there's any Giants fans, like, come on, man. Like, seriously, you know?
That's fine. Just fuck the Giants. That's what I got to say about them.
Yeah.
So moving on from a gutter team like the Giants, let's move to another gutter team that, as far as I'm concerned, the Washington, no longer, you know,
football team.
Commanders. Word. Yeah, Commanders. There it is. Yeah. See, every once in a while I slip up and I say it, but it's they're the Commanders. And I am on record as saying I don't think that they're going to be much of anything because obviously they got a rookie coach at this point. Not a rookie coach. I'm sorry. They have, what's his name? That was coaching for Atlanta there. And then he was a defensive coordinator for Dallas the last couple of years. I can picture him. I can't think of his name. That's going to bother me. You know exactly what I'm talking about. I can picture him. He's obviously notoriously known for screwing up the Atlanta Super Bowl.
Dan Quinn.
Thank you. Who is he? I will go on record as saying he's a phenomenal defensive coordinator. He's probably one of the best with what he's been able to do with Dallas, what he did with Seattle when they were the Legion of Boom, what he was able to do with Atlanta for a couple of years when they were relevant down there. What he's walking into with that Washington situation, where I don't know how I feel about Jaden Daniels as a quarterback. I mean, yeah, he won the Heisman, LSU. It was, correct me if I'm wrong, did Jaden Daniels feel like the most underhyped Heisman winner of all time?
Yeah, I didn't even know he won.
Right? It's not that he's a bad quarterback, and I don't want to judge the kid without seeing him play, especially preseason or training camp or anything like that. I don't know the statistics on him or what he's able to do. I just don't. They don't have anybody on that team that's going to make me sit there and go, he's going to be good. They're going to be a good team. They're going to knock it out of the park. They are completely in a rebuild mode.
Yes, 1,000%.
I was going to say, I want to get your feelings on this, but I have a feeling you're in the same accordance with me on this.
Pretty much. I mean, look, Dan Quinn, obviously a great coach. I mean, Ron Rivera, I don't think was a bad coach either, but it was just the look what he was given, right? Exactly. It's the Snyder issues, the, like, you know, all those things. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think, didn't they hire Bob Myers?
Oh, no, they hired Cliff Kingsbury.
No, Bob Myers, the guy, he was the former general manager of the Golden State Warriors.
Oh, yes, okay. I think you're right about that.
Yeah, they did. Washington. So, yeah, they did. Yeah, they just did. He's not necessarily like a GM, but he's more of like the
consultant type.
Which, I mean, he should be, I guess, you know, considering what he did for, you know.
I'm sorry. I was thinking, I remember when we go back to the draft, I was thinking I think they hired Cliff Kingsbury as the offensive coordinator because they thought they were going to be in on, was it Caleb Williams, right?
Uh-huh.
There was talk about that where it was like, obviously, oh, what Cliff Kingsbury was able to do with Kyler Murray at the beginning there. And, oh, he's going to work magic with Caleb if he drops or whoever mm-hmm. else or something. It was just like, okay.
I don't think Kingsbury. I don't even think like he obviously shows that, you know, there are things that, you know, obviously I'm not a coach in any way. And I am not a football maniac, but like, just based off everyone and everything I've heard, like everyone said he was not ready. Mm-hmm. Right. And I still believe that. I think you go like from Texas Tech to head coaching.
Yeah. You and know Texas, what I mean? I don't think Texas Tech had really a winning record when he was there.
Exactly. So I didn't understand that. And I think maybe an offensive coordinator role might be good.
Yeah.
I think, yeah. But then also like, who's there?
Exactly. That's my argument.
There's bright spots on the team if they want to stay. I don't want to like shit on them too hard because I have no like qualms with them, right? But like, I don't know like what, like you're looking at a 4-13 team or something like that. You know what I mean? Same with the Giants, 4-13.
You know? I don't think I could name a defensive player for the Commanders right now since they traded away Chase Young, who was probably one of their best defenders.
Fucking Niners.
Yeah, of course. And then the only real bright spot on the Commanders, I would say the last few years going, is Terry McLaurin.
Yeah.
Like he's a phenomenal wide receiver.
Imagine if you gave him a quarterback.
That's the biggest thing. Look what he's been able to do with freaking Tyler Henneke throwing him the ball. And then who was there? Sam Howell was their quarterback last year. So like,
I got fucking ran through him.
Right. But like McLaurin still has 1,000 yards with those no name guys throwing him the football.
Could you imagine him with any other quarterback?
That's what I mean. It's just, all it takes. So I'm fascinated to see if Daniels is going to be that guy. I don't think he's going to be the guy right away.
Don't worry. They have their savior, Marcus Mariota.
Oh, of course. Yeah, that's a whole nother. Oh boy, Marcus Mariota. He's after what he did with Atlanta and that whole situation. He's just. I mean, I always thought he was a bum with Tennessee to begin with, but I. Regardless,
I think the Commanders are
toast.
They got some
before it even started.
Yeah, they got some things to work on. Will they give the Eagles a hard time? Of course.
Of course, I get it. So, like I said, we looked through the division. We talked about the obviously the different teams besides the Eagles in there. Let's give me, you kind of give me a little bit of your predictions here for your records for the Giants and the Commanders. Who do we got finishing where? And give me, you know, bold prediction right now. What do we got for final records at the end of the year?
All right,
so give me start from the bottom. Give me four, and then get your way up.
I think the Giants, because they literally have nothing, and you're going to really depend on Danny Dimes to carry you. So if you're looking at, we'll give them the 4-13 record.
Okay.
One of those is probably beating the Eagles, I would imagine. it just has to happen. Redskins, Commanders.
Oh, see, I wasn't the one that did it this time, guys. All right. If you're going to get them, go get Kyle. That wasn't me. Okay. We're good.
It's
okay.
Commanders. We can say a six win team.
Ooh, you like them with a rookie quarterback?
I think they have McLaurin. I think you Mariota, and you have, I think, Kingsbury Klingon. It was called Klingon. I don't know.
There you go.
You might be able to do something. I think there might be something there.
Okay.
I think the Cowboys will have a winning record because the talent's there. Now, what they do with that talent is, or if that talent wants to play. Is something completely different. So, I mean, 11, 10, 10 wins maybe. I'm going to be generous towards those guys, even though I hate them. I'm going to be a little generous. I'm going to say that. I think they'll pull some games out their ass.
Only to lose in the first round of the playoffs like they always do.
Every year. And then my Eagles, like, I want to say undefeated, but we know that's not going to happen. I do think their schedule is significantly easier from last year. So thank God. But my worry is the Jalen Hurts having what, like 8 different offensive coordinators in the last 10 years. You know what I mean? So now he's learning Kellen Moore's thing on top of that, right?
Yeah.
That's because he could not read a blitz to save his life near the end of the season. You know what I mean? So I say we give the Eagles we'll say 12 wins.
Okay.
Well, I think a 12-5. I don't know their full schedule, but I think I'm gonna look it up right now. Sorry, we're looking up right now.
No, you're fine. Go ahead. You look them up, and what I'm gonna do right now is I'm gonna give my predictions. I think we're gonna swap around your two bottom teams on my side. I'm looking at the Commanders finishing last in the division. I think they got a lot of growing pains. Obviously, McLaurin's going to be a high spot for them again. I see them finishing, 4-13, 3-14 at that point. Giants, not much better. I give them another 5 or 6 win season, maybe. I think obviously they have a little bit more experience. I have a little more faith in Daboll at this point to kind of right the ship a little bit, especially where they drafted that receiver so high in the draft there, where he was a big target for Danny Dimes because he didn't have much to throw to in the first place. And then I actually do like the Cowboys to come in relatively close to what you said. I think they're going to get second in the division. I give them a wild card spot there. Give them 10 or 11 wins. I still think as long as CD plays and they are able to do what they did the last couple seasons, I like Dallas finishing second. And then I'm on board with you, as much as it pains me to say. I like the Eagles to finish numero uno in the NFC East. They're going to turn things around this year. I think Saquon's going to be a big addition, and he's going to help Jalen Hurts a whole lot. And hopefully Nick Sirianni listens to you damn Eagles fans and runs that football as long as Saquon stays healthy. You guys are going to rock the division. I see you winning at least 11 or 12 games. Give me that.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think that's fair. I think Packers-Eagles is their first game. Did you hear that? Okay. It got moved from Brazil. It was going to be Brazil, but it got moved because of gang violence.
Ah, okay. I thought I saw that, and I wasn't. I had heard about that, but I didn't know if that was bogus or not.
They couldn't wear their colors. Yeah, they couldn't wear their colors. It was kind of like, oh man. I think they beat the Packers. They beat the Falcons. They beat the Saints. I think they murdered the Bucks.
Okay.
I think the Browns would be a good game, but I think they win that. So far, this might be a little biased. This is becoming a little biased because they should beat their first 6 games, aren't they? The Browns, they should beat. Keyword should, but we don't know what Browns you're going to get though, right? You don't know if you're going to get right. It depends what Browns you're getting.
If you're getting Texans, Deshaun Watson, you could be in trouble. If you're getting post massage, then I think you're fine.
Yeah, I think so. Look, we beat the Packers, beat the Falcons, beat the Saints, beat the Bucks, beat the Browns, beat the Giants. Bengals, depends what Bengals you're getting.
Very true.
Right?
Burrow is dangerous. Yep.
Are they going to be able to keep Joe Shiesty on his feet?
That's accurate. Yeah, that's
What I mean? Joe Shiesty on his feet is one of the best QBs to play the fucking game. So it's because there's still Ja'Marr Chase and he'll burn our corners. I already know that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Jaguars will be a tough game because Peterson will always have a place in my heart. That'll be a tough game. We could lose that one. I think out of the Bengals or Jaguars, we lose one of those two.
Okay.
Cowboys.
Maybe split.
Yeah, we'll split. they're playing at Dallas.
Oh, well, that's usually the win. That's usually the win for you guys, I feel like, in Dallas. And then at Philly is usually when Dallas sneaks up on you guys. But that's just the weird way
because
we're
trying to find out what we're doing with our life at the end of the season for some reason. We'll take that one, right? So we'll say we lose to the Bengals, right? Because they have Joe Shiesty and he does it. And then we'll say we beat the Jaguars, beat the Cowboys, beat the Commanders. What Rams are we getting?
Another big question mark. Yep.
Puka Nacua is something to be messed with. Is Cooper Kupp going to be healthy?
Yeah.
If he's healthy,
that's probably the best 1-2 receiver duo in the league. Exactly. Right next to what? Tyreek and Waddle, I would say, is right there.
That's a deal, right? So that depends what Rams you're getting. If you get the Rams that have healthy, there that are healthy, Rams will take it, I think, because they're going to burn the hell out of our corners, I think. Right?
Yeah.
But Aaron Donald's not there anymore. So that's a 50-50 one there,
That's right.
That's a 50-50. Ravens,
That's tough.
That's a tough one, and I'm going to tell you why this one's tough, right? Because the Eagles have a bye early in the season. I think it's like week 5 or 6.
Right? That's tough.
And so you're talking near the end of the season. By then, they're going to be tired, hurt. So I say we probably lose that one.
Okay.
Panthers, I forgot they're a football team, so that's a win. Steelers, that's also a wild card team there because, like, what Steelers are you getting?
Well, it depends. I was going to say, is Kenny Pickett going to be playing for you guys in that game? Is like, Jalen Hurts might be like, you know what, kid, you get in there and go take care of your old team for me.
I mean, look, with that would be only 4 games left too, and if the division isn't doing, we'd probably already have it. So resting it would be a good idea.
Mm.
I'll take that as a win. I forgot how many wins I have, now, but we have three, four losses,
something like that. Yeah.
Commanders will probably win. Cowboys at Eagles. That's the one we lose, we'll say.
Yep.
And then Giants. We'll probably lose that one on purpose because we'll be number one seed or something.
There you go. So 4 or 5. Hey, so you're right on spot. About 12, maybe 13 wins at this point.
It's like, there's some really big games in there with the Bengals, right? Then the Ravens are going to be your real test there, right?
I got you.
Like, thank God we don't have a gauntlet of like the Niners, Chiefs, fucking.
Bills. Yeah,
that was so bad last year. I could not believe we had that. Dolphins, Rams, like, what the hell's going on?
But like I said, the fact that you guys went 10-0 to start the way that it did, and it's just like I said, falling apart at the end was tough. But it's still, you had a season that a lot of other teams fans dream up a lot of times. I mean, look at, I know it still hurts to think about, but like Detroit with the success that they had last year. I mean, think about being a Detroit fan for the last 30 years and finally seeing the season of your dreams, just to get to the NFC championship, right?
They were close
right there. So, I mean, the Eagles, as far as I'm concerned, you guys are going to be on a path to very similar what you had in early 2000s, where you have the talent, you have all the capabilities of making either a dynasty or just being a threat to potentially make the Super Bowl going forward. It's just all, I think at the end of the day, it's going to come down to coaching, how the offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator are going to mesh with, you know, the guys that are on the squad at this point. I think you guys are going to be great. Before we wrap up everything, Kyle, I want to get, if you have any like hot takes or anything like that for the NFL in general, it doesn't have to be the Eagles, doesn't have to be the NFC East. If you got anything, you want to throw out something crazy out there for our listeners, do you got something for me that is going to blow people's minds right now?
Brock Purdy's overrated.
Ooh, how overrated?
He's a good quarterback, but when you look what he has everything. I think he's overrated. Hear you Niner fans, and you know, this is no hate on you guys, even though you guys seem to love to hate on the Eagles for whatever reason. Brock Purdy's overrated. I do not think he's a system quarterback.
Okay.
Kyle Shanahan, I mean, look what he has around him, right? Ayuk, Debo, McCaffrey. Like, how many times did you just give it to McCaffrey? Because I know my fantasy league was won based off McCaffrey.
Well, he might be in trouble, obviously, being the cover of Madden. And I mean, you know, we all know what the Madden curse does. So
it only doesn't affect Patty Mahomes.
That's it, right? I really, like I said, I hope and pray that nobody gets hurt. That's the biggest thing for me, because I think football is always way more fun when everybody's healthy and you have the best of the best on the field. So praying for healthy players, healthy teams all around. I think dude, we're at training camp. We're at football. We got the Hall of Fame game later on this week. We got preseason games starting up, I want to say the week after. I cannot wait. This is what we've been waiting freaking like 7 months for at this point. February seems like
fantasy
it was an eternity
ago.
That's right. That's right. And you're going to lose to this dirty ass cheating Patriots fan.
No, I'm not.
And
are you joining YZ's?
Oh, thing? I'm in. I'm all in, baby. All right.
We're talking about doing like streaming something. We got to wear a dress or something.
Oh, trust me. It's going to get crazy and it's going to be awesome sauce when I win it all and I make you have to wear all the stuff that you got to wear.
Oh, I can't wait. Look, I can't wait. Let's go.
That's my hot take for tonight, baby.
I'll put 5 gifted on it now that I place better than you.
Oh, here we go. All right. Fair game. Fair game. Well, speaking of gifted and obviously for our streams, before we wrap this sucker up, Kyle, you want to do me a favor and tell all our fans out there how they can either get a hold of you or find you, whether it's through streaming on your socials. The floor is yours. Tell people about you, what you got going on.
Unless you're a Cowboys fan. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding, guys.
Cowboys fans are welcome.
You can send me the hate. Kinda Cool Kyle with two A's. So it's K-I-N-D-A-A. Kinda Cool Kyle on Twitch. Dude, I'm there Tuesday, Wednesday. I don't know, random days, playing whatever games, missing my shots. Be there. I have a lot of crazy fun stuff to do there. So just do that. Same on my Twitter, fucking Instagram, all of them, dude. Kinda Cool Kyle. Just message me the hate, man. Message me the hate. I'm all for it.
He's an absolute blast, and this is completely unbiased because he's my buddy. He has a great time. He's jumping into streams. He has the best time. He's an actual kick-ass Fortnite player. That's right. I'm going to butter you up right here. I'm going to tell you. I've seen him play Fortnite. He could kick the shit out of me. That's why I don't play him in Fortnite, and I don't play with him because I know he'd kick me off the team immediately. But if you guys want a good time, go check out his Twitch. Like you said, you can hit him up on Twitter. He's got TikTok. He's got all the stuff. So go check him out. I highly, highly recommend it. My friend, I want to thank you so much for joining the podcast today. I hope you had a blast, and I absolutely cannot wait to have you back again when the Eagles fall flat in their face, and I'm just laughing at you when they have a losing record. What do you think about that?
Let's do it again with YZ and everyone. Let's have a whole roundtable. Let's do it.
I can't. I absolutely cannot wait. Well, at this point, ladies and gentlemen, this is going to put a plug, as my buddy Burge always loves to say, on this latest episode of Between the Tackles. As always, if you guys are interested in more content, we have our website available for midnightrideproductions.net. You can find us on there for anything media related. If you're interested in either starting a blog or if you want to start a podcast or anything media related, join the rebellion. I actually got some content up there now where if you want to read some good old Patriots blogs about how much we're going to suck this year, I got plenty of content up there for you. So come check it out whenever you get a chance. Again, that's midnightrideproductions.net. And again, if you guys want to check out our amazing guest that we've had today, Kinda Cool Kyle, look him up. You will not regret it. Until next time, ladies and gentlemen, I appreciate you listening as always. I love you. Go Patriots. We'll see you
next time. Fly, Eagles, fly.
Oh, later.